Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and soon realized that you have no idea what they are talking about? Or have you tried to communicate something straightforward to someone who did not understand it, or worse, misunderstood it entirely to an opposite result? This is all due to a curse of knowledge. Welcome to A Walk Within, a show where we visit a short story from around the world and revisit life experiences invoked by it to explore the parallels between the two and find newer meanings. I'm Anoop, and in today's episode, we will explore Curse of Knowledge through a short story, Communication, by Charles Fontenay, published in IF, World of Science Fiction magazine, in 1956. As always, let's start with the story once we are back. Everyone knows that Earth is the third planet from the Sun. But how about looking at it from an alien point of view? The first terrestrial expedition to Mars did not find any Martians. Neither did the second. Since there are so few Martians left, those facts are less surprising than that the third did. For many years, before spaceflight was accomplished, there had been discussions and theories about how to communicate with Martians, if any existed. But of course, nobody was ready when the time came. They fell back on that antiquated gimmick. Von Frisch, Riley, and Smith watched the half-dozen Martians approach, and their watching was not without some trepidation. Except that they were about 20 miles away from their G-boat, the planetary landing craft, they probably would have fled. Except that they had their orders, they probably would have shot first and asked questions later.
Sir, this is Von Frisch. We're being approached by the Martians.
How do they act?
Asked Captain Powers back at the G-boat immediately.
They don't act hostile, sir.
Stand by then, but don't take any chances. What do they look like?
They're quite a bit taller than we are, but their bodies are round and not much bigger than a child's. They've got real long legs, arms, and big heads with big eyes and ears.
Are they intelligent? Are they civilized? How do they breathe?
Wait a minute, Captain. You're going a little too fast, sir. They've just come up to us. I don't know whether that's fur on them or whether they are wearing clothes.
Well, try to communicate with them, man.
Von Frisch did his best. The Martians appeared friendly enough and interested. Von Frisch tried to communicate in the only method he had heard about. While his companions watched curiously, he shut his ear to the running fire of questions from Powers, squatted, and drew a right-angled triangle in the red desert sand. By one of the sides, he drew 3 marks, by another, 4. Then he stepped back and looked questioningly at the Martians. One of the Martians squatted in a tangle of pipe stem arms and legs, and with a long finger drew 5 lines beside the triangle's hypotenuse.
They understand the Pythagorean theorem, sir.
Good. They undoubtedly know some astronomy then. Go on.
Von Frisch hesitated a moment, then erased the triangle. He drew a small circle with rays from it for the sun. He drew four larger concentric circles around it with small circles for planets on the rim of each one. He pointed to the third planet, then at himself, then at his companion, one by one. Then he pointed at the fourth planet and at the Martians, one by one. To complete the matter, he pointed at the sky.
We are Earthmen, you are Martians.
The trouble was that the Earthmen did not realize the things the Martian had were weapons until they used them. They did not realize it then, as a matter of fact, because the Earthmen were dead, all three of them. The Martian hunting party came back from the desert with the word of the strange creatures who came apparently from another world. Whether they have weapons, we do not know, said the leader of the hunting party. But they wish to harm our people, so we killed them all. That is desperate action, said the patriarch of the village. In what way were they dangerous to us? Foolishly, they disclosed their intention to us, replied the leader of the hunting party. They informed us they planned to take over our world and to drive our people farther from the sun to the great planet Jupiter. Then you did right, said the patriarch, blinking his big eyes. Biggs and Golden were working near the G-boat. Their helmet radios were set to a different channel from that used by the exploring party, so they were unable to hear Captain Powers shouting frantically into his microphone and getting no answer. It was just after sunset and Biggs was looking into the west.
We ought to see it now, but it ain't there. What ain't there? Mercury. I reckon you can't see it from Mars without a telescope. Too close to the sun. If there are any Martians, I reckon they think they live on the third planet. That's funny.
The entire team assumed that the Martians will know that the Earth is the third planet from the Sun, because they were cursed with this knowledge. They were aware of the planet Mercury, which, due to its proximity to the Sun, was not visible to the Martians. Curse of knowledge is a cognitive bias that happens when a person talking with others unknowingly assumes that the other person has the necessary background to understand it. Basically, when you know things, you forget what it's like to not have this knowledge. Kind of like a blind spot. Elizabeth Newton, a psychology graduate student at Stanford University, demonstrated the curse of knowledge in 1990 by conducting a simple experiment in which she assigned people to one of two roles: tapper or listener. Each tapper was given a well-known song to choose from and was instructed to tap out the rhythm on a table, like this. It was up to the listener to figure out what music it was. A total of 120 songs were tapped out during Newton's experiment. Only 3 of the songs were properly identified by the listeners. However, before they made their guesses, Newton asked the tappers to estimate the likelihood that the listeners would guess right. They expected a 50% success rate, meaning at least 60 songs would be correctly identified. Why is there a lot of gap between the results? When the tapper taps, they can't help but hear the melody that's playing in the background. Meanwhile, the only thing that the listener can hear is a strange Morse code. The tappers were astounded by how difficult it was for the listener to pick up the tune. Let's try this. Listen to the tap again. Did you get it? Now listen to it again, knowing that the song is Happy Birthday. The human brain works in a complex fashion. Believe it or not, but every communication is being decoded by our brains heavily. To put simply, we create our version of reality and subscribe to it, and rarely put ourselves in the perspective of the others when we communicate. We simply lack the awareness of the level of knowledge of the listener before we start communicating with them. On listeners' front, their ability to decode the communication is highly influenced by the varying factor of the context, be it their awareness of the subject, background, familiarity, communication channel, and in some cases, culture. So while the information may seem obvious to us, they receive it from a totally different perspective. So the question comes, how will we be able to break free from this curse? While it's impossible to break from this curse, there are few measures we can take. First, being aware that we are cursed with knowledge. Second, constantly asking for feedback from listeners like, does that make sense? Third, and this is one of my favorite, is to use the simple terminology for the idea or your explanation to be more accessible to all the audience with different levels of knowledge. So unlike the astronauts, let's not assume that everyone is aware of the fact that Earth is the third planet from the Sun. In the end, the communication is only successful when the receiver gets the message as you intended. Being aware and appreciating others' perspective will only enrich our communication. That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. You can now follow A Walk Within on its Facebook page too, as well as on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and the website. Links to all is available in the show notes. You can use these channels to share your reviews and engage in the conversation on the stories and topics covered in the show. Lastly, if you like the content, share it with your friends and family. It's much appreciated. Before you go, I want to thank all the listeners for their continued support. Till next time, stay as awesome as you are.